Here's pastor's wife, Keisha Griffin.
My husband always tries to ensure that visitors feel welcome. He's like, members, you guys know each other. You're going to talk to each other. You have time for that. Go and be intentional about making our visitors feel welcome. It's your attitude behind hospitality that makes it hospitality.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of Seeking Him. For April 26th, 2024, I'm Deanna Gresh.
Today we're finishing up a series called You're Welcome Here. For the last 3 weeks on Revive Our Hearts, we've been taking a look at what the Bible says about hospitality. Something I love about this subject of hospitality is the fact that there's no exact formula for how to practice it. You can be old or young, rich or poor, able-bodied or disabled. Because of the wonderful diversity within the body of Christ, the possibilities of how we go about being hospitable are truly endless. Ultimately, as we've said throughout this month, hospitality starts in the heart. It's recognizing the ways that God has welcomed us into relationship with Him, and then turning that welcome outward as we engage with others and invite them into our hearts and homes. Our team here at Revive Our Hearts took the teaching that you've heard in this series and developed it into a new Bible study. It's also titled, You're Welcome Here. We'll share more about that later in today's episode, and you can get all the details on our website, reviveourhearts.com. We've also filmed a 6-part video series to go along with the study, hosted by Erin Davis. One of the women Erin talked with for that series has a powerful story of what hospitality can look like in a local church. I'm going to turn things over to Erin to bring you that story.
She's been on Revive Our Hearts and The Deep Well before, but let me reintroduce Keisha Griffin to you. Keisha's married to Charles Griffin III, pastor of Day Spring Christian Church in Gardena, California. That's in the Los Angeles area. Not too long ago, some of the Revive Our Hearts production team and I got to visit Keisha in California and meet the people that she goes to church with. And let me tell you something, they understand a thing or two about hospitality. Here's Keisha.
I've been really impacted by hospitality, particularly by a pastor's wife who I'm good friends with. She is very intentional about showing hospitality. She asks, what would you like to eat? What are the things that you enjoy as far as food? She takes her time to prepare. She welcomes you very warmly into her home, and it's almost embarrassing because she's so generous with her hospitality, so. The gospel on display through hospitality is that we may have to serve someone who doesn't deserve it. Just like Christ died for his enemies, died for undeserving people, the hospitality, you may serve someone who you think is undeserving, but you're demonstrating God's love through serving them. And then of course you also can give them the gospel. You can share the gospel, not just show them practically as far as serving, but also share with them the gospel message and let them know why you're able to love, why you're able to serve, why you're able to open up your home. It's because of what Christ has done for you, and you can share the gospel with them.
Keisha told me hospitality's been something she's needed to grow into.
Do you feel like there's an expectation that pastors' wives are always hospitable?
Yes.
Okay.
That our home is supposed to be open 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so there is an expectation. But I do think it's biblical.
Yeah.
Because as believers, we all are to be hospitable. So it's a biblical principle. It's just that I think sometimes the church only applies that to pastors and wives.
Yeah. Has there been times when, as a pastor's wife, even knowing it's biblical, you've not wanted to show hospitality?
Yes. Earlier on in our church, 2012, I struggled with being an isolationist. Because I do have a background of childhood abuse, sexual abuse trauma, and so one of the ways I cope is to isolate.
Okay.
And so
isolation is not good. And if you're a pastor and wife and people are expecting to, you know, come over and fellowship. Mm-hmm. And so at one point I really struggled. My husband would invite, you know, church family over, and I would just kind of give him a hard time because I just wanted to go home and be by myself. And it caused somewhat of division.
Okay.
Between.
Would you say you resented him or the people coming over?
Not really resented him, but I would get frustrated.
Okay.
I would get upset because I wanted just to be alone. I'm thinking we went to church, we did the church thing, we stayed long, we fellowshiped at church. Now this is my time. Let me go into my own comfort zone. And so it caused a bit of an issue because I didn't want to fellowship. And so I remember clearly driving and being convicted by the Spirit that I was just being selfish. And I used the excuse that, you know, this is just how I dealt with my issues, my issues with of abuse. I would just clam up and I would isolate. I was used to being alone, and but as a mature believer, I'm supposed to be able to fellowship and
right. Be
open and welcoming.
And you're a woman who knows your Bible, so it's
right. So
it's hard to deny the theme of hospitality in Scripture. It's very clear.
It's very, very clear. Show hospitality.
Sure.
Right. And so I just remember being convicted, and I just wept as I was driving. I was alone in my car, and I was just thinking about things, and I was convicted and wept.
I think we can all identify with that selfish tendency to isolate ourselves. Well, the conviction Keisha felt and her repentance worked itself out in her relationships at church. She introduced me to the Davis family, Cynthia, Cynthia's sister Diana, and Diana's son, Nicholas. We all sat in their living room along with Keisha's mom, Cece. And let me tell you, they are a fun group. They love to laugh.
In the
The joy they show is in spite of joy. I guess that could be said for all of us. We each live in a fallen world, and our joy comes in spite of the difficulties we face. In the case of the Davises, their joy comes in spite of, or in the midst of, a genetic neurological disease.
The disease is called dystonia.
Dystonia.
It's a very rare disease. Like only 4% of the population have it.
Okay. So yeah. Your mom had dystonia.
Yeah.
And how many of your sibling sets have dystonia?
All of us.
All six of you.
That's very rare.
The Davises has something similar to cerebral palsy or Parkinson's disease. So it impacts their muscles. For Cynthia, she's unable to walk without a walker. She uses a walker and a wheelchair. Her spine curves. Her neck is unable to move all the way from left to right. It impacts her speech. And for Diana, it's mostly in her hands. So her hands have a deformity to them, and her speech is a little slower, a little slurred. Nicholas, he has muscle spasms. And he also has a speech impediment where he stutters, and he has a slur in speech also.
And is it progressive over your lifetime?
Yes, because you're born healthy, the strength in your body.
Okay.
You're born healthy. For me personally, when I was born, when age 21, I start notice the difference in my neck. It started with my neck.
When you were 21?
21, yeah.
Wow.
And my speech gets really bad. It affects your speech. No bed, and
you had surgeries. Neck surgery.
I had three neck surgery.
Okay.
They put a plate in my neck.
Okay.
In the back of my neck, and then I had a stroke during surgery.
Back. How many times you had back?
I had back. I had like four.
Four.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Back surgery is highly invasive.
Ooh. Yes.
Please tell me.
Living with dystonia, Cynthia has felt the rejection of others.
Cynthia experienced, tell her about prior to you coming to our church.
I used to go to the petition school, and she used to say, Cynthia, come on, you know, don't you go to our church? I said, well, no, I don't want to go to church. I don't like church.
Were you a follower of Jesus?
No.
No. You didn't have a relationship with God at all?
No,
you didn't,
at all.
You weren't reading your Bible?
No, not reading the Bible. I did not own the Bible.
Okay.
I didn't own the Bible. And then I used to visit different churches.
Okay.
Trying to fit in, you know, but could not handle it. Mm. I said, I got to go. I said, no, I don't like this church. I don't like this church. You know.
Can you identify? Was it the way they treated you, or just the church in general?
I'll tell you one church that keep coming to my head. Was this church? It was a big church, you know. So I went there, and I said, nobody's greeting me. Nobody walking by me, you know. I said, I'm looking for somewhere to sit. No one to get and give me a place to sit. I said, what's wrong with this church? You know.
Well, that is a beautiful segue to hospitality.
Yes.
Because when you were in a church,
yes,
and nobody was hospitable to you.
No one.
Nobody said hello.
Hello. You know, how you
did
doing?
You take your walker?
Yeah, I had my walker.
You were
walker.
On your walker?
I had my walker.
And nobody accommodated that for you?
Nobody accommodated to say hello.
It makes me really sad.
Yeah, no, they have to see so you can sit here, you know. I'm like, what's wrong with this church? You know, and I sat there and I listened to the sermon. I'm like, I want to leave. I feel really hurt.
I had to take a class for seminary on disability. And one of our assignments was we had to be in a wheelchair for a certain amount of time, and we had to go to certain number of places. And anyway, I did it, and people looked at me like they were disgusted with me. And there was no way for them to know if I was legitimate. It's not like they knew she's doing this for an assignment.
Right.
She's faking it. So either looked past me, like they wanted to pretend I wasn't there, or looked at me with like disdain. And it was very eye-opening because I'm able-bodied currently. Yeah. I probably won't always be. Most of us are not all able-bodied our whole lives, but it was eye-opening. And then with my mom's Alzheimer's, when she got sick, she's always been very vibrant. She lights up a room. She's a friend to everybody. And people, way I know to say is people started to treat her like a potted plant, like kind of look past her, talk over her, assume she couldn't understand them, talk dumb to her like she was dumb. And it's been very eye-opening.
God had already been working in Keisha's heart in the area of hospitality for a couple of years when Cynthia first visited Dayspring Christian Church. Love and warmth permeate the whole church.
The Davises have joined our church in 2015, I believe, 14 or 15.
Okay.
And they've been there ever since. You know, unfortunately, their own blood family disowned them because of their disability.
Mm.
Can you imagine having a disability and not having true family, and it's just your small family of three, and coming into a church?
Especially when you had tried that before.
When you tried it before.
And experience the same kind of rejection you've experienced from your family.
Being overlooked, not being greeted, and so that's a little, you know, scary and intimidating
for sure.
So thankfully our church is warm and welcoming and friendly, and we just welcome them as if they were a part of our family already. The first day, I think you told me, the first day you came, you needed prayer because you were going into knee surgery.
I went to the pastor and said, can you pray for me about the pastor in next week? He said, sure. So he gave one of the other ladies to come and deal with him to pray for me. And then he prayed for me. I'm like, oh.
And that was on your
first time at the church. Wow. Yeah, he prayed for me. Yeah, pastor prayed for me. So I came back the second time. And the other time, I said, I'm going to join this church. The preaching was so true.
My goal today is to look in the book of Peter here and to highlight things that we tend to forget while we are suffering.
Pastor Charles Griffin III has a gospel-centered perspective on suffering.
We tend to forget certain things. And really, I almost want to say we tend to forget that Jesus Christ is still sovereign and he is still on the throne. He is still ruler of rulers, King of kings, Lord of lords, and whatever you think is going on, he's designed that for your good. So stop complaining.
I never heard preaching like that before. God just convicted me and said, Cynthia, I was living to where I was living the worldly and going to church. And I said, I can't do both.
No.
I can't do both.
Can't be double-minded.
I said, Keisha, no. I can't do both. You know, I said, he lead the world and they come to church. Mm-hmm. And I said, Lord, please help me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just left that world, mm-hmm. him, you know, that world, and came to our church. Never regret my mm-hmm. that I came to the Lord. The Lord shows me. Now yeah. he shows him, you know. Mm-hmm. He shows me.
Yes.
And give me a chance to show that, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have to live that world mm-hmm. to get joy. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, I don't have, I feel so much joy. I just think that church, you know, is boring. Mm-hmm. You know, people are boring. Mm-hmm. That's a mentality they give me. You know, so the world is, you know, mm-hmm. view of, you know, church. But like, I'm like, oh, you guys gonna do this? Oh, you gonna do that? Oh, I said, I'm so boring. I said, more.
Can't have fun.
Can't have fun. Yeah. I'm like, whoa. And I said, Lord, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. He saved me.
Yes.
The Lord saved me.
My husband always tries to ensure that visitors feel welcome. He's like, members, you guys know each other. You're going to talk to each other. You'll have time for that. Go and be intentional about making our visitors feel welcome. Mm. So that's just kind of the culture of our church.
I didn't know it's just like that existed. Oh my goodness.
You didn't know that existed?
No, I didn't. I never experienced that kind of welcome, the warmth, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, I never felt that before.
When your hurt's too much to bear, I can't make it disappear, but I know how. And cry a tear, say yes to trust and no to fear. Do you know you're welcome here with me?
Yeah, so when she came, we tried to just show her Christ. Mm. Of course, we see your disability, mm-hmm. but we didn't treat them as if they had a disability. Mm-hmm. You know, we treat mentally, you know, sure. emotionally. And so
that wasn't all you saw.
That wasn't all we saw.
Yeah.
And so we just became really close with them. And fast forwarding a few years, my mom started to be Cynthia's caretaker. And
she's an encouragement to me.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Keisha's mama, Cece.
When I'm aching up, just think about her. She don't complain. Mm. She always smiling, you know. She's my bestie now.
Yeah.
But I started in 2017 helping her, coming from the post office.
Yeah.
And we just hang out together. Before I was her caretaker though, we would go shopping and stuff.
Yes.
Because this is a shopaholic. Amazon packages. It's been a blessing to help her. I help her get dressed. Like I was in there when you guys came.
Yeah.
You know. She takes her own showers and do all that. But when she gets out, then I come in and attend to her. Mm. You know, straighten up her room and stuff.
Prepare her food.
Because she has somebody Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 hours a day that prepares everything and have her ready for the weekend, basically.
Gotcha.
So I come in and just help her, whatever, and get dressed. No. No.
Grocery shop too.
Yeah,
grocery shop.
And yeah, I think
I tried to retire, but it didn't happen. Good help was hard to find.
No
you know?
Doubt.
Yeah.
I very much think of caregiving as ministry. Do you see caregiving as ministry?
I never really looked at it as ministry. This is something that we're called to do.
Yeah.
You know, to love, and that's part of it. Yeah. You know,
we're called to do it, but not everybody does it.
That's true.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah.
I see them growing, not just closer to the Lord, but also more confident that they are in the image of God still, even with their physical disability.
You know what that word for that is? Dignity.
Dignity.
They have dignity.
That is the word.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that comes from knowing
I'm
made in the image of God. I have value no matter what happens in my hands.
Yes.
No matter what happens in my neck
yes.
or if my speech continues to slur.
Yes.
I have dignity because God made me.
Mm. And that has allowed them to open up their heart and their home to others now.
Yeah.
So it's funny because we think of this, you know, they have limitations. And so they can't physically get up and serve.
Yeah.
But they have grown to the point, and we've helped help them understand that they still can be used by God where they are. Mm. So no, you can't get up and physically help us or, you know, make a plate or serve us, but you can open up your home.
Mm.
That's what you can do.
How did that happen? How did that switch get flipped that from mm-hmm. you welcoming them in to them mm-hmm. saying, we welcome you in?
We challenged them in that way.
Really?
Yes. Yes. So, and gently and, you know, lovingly saying, you know, we understand that you're used to being served.
Mm.
You have caretakers.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone there to take care of you. But what can you do? What gifts can you use to serve others?
Mm.
Because we're all called to do it.
Mm.
And that was the challenge.
Wow.
That was the challenge, and they understood what we meant
this
by
this.
This
is after they'd given their lives to Christ,
they're starting to mature in the faith, and, you know, they're like, well, what can I do?
Mm.
They're at that point
probably
now.
Nobody had challenged them on that.
Never. It wasn't even a question in their mind.
Probably, consciously or unconsciously, written them off mm-hmm. as fit to serve because they do have disabilities.
They do have disabilities. Yeah. So, you know, it never crossed their minds.
Hmm.
Yes, there are some things that I can do.
Mm.
So what can you do in your limitations? Well, you have this gorgeous, beautiful home.
It is beautiful.
Open up your home and host.
Mm.
We'll come and we'll serve. Open up your home and host. Now we can't get them. Now every time we have something, they want us over. But
you're sharing your church has... your church Christmas party here in their backyard.
We have it in their backyard. We'll have game night. We'll just come. We'll hang out. We'll have fellowship and meals. And they love it.
Mm.
They feel that they are being used by God to serve his people.
Mm.
They have a purpose.
They are.
They are.
Yeah.
They have a purpose.
And here's how Keisha, Cece, Cynthia, Diana, and Nicholas served me. Just after the conversation you've been listening to took place, I got a hard phone call. My husband Jason called to let me know that Mimi, his grandma, who we're very close to, had gone home to be with Jesus. And the grief was real and instant. And these new friends of mine, they surrounded me. They gave me hugs. They expressed words of comfort. They prayed with me right there. They didn't shy away from the tears that were welling up in my eyes. In other words, they gave me comfort. They showed me hospitality.
If it doesn't cost you anything, what type of love is it truly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's what this family has taught us.
Mm.
What true sacrificial love looks like. Mm-hmm. And I hope we've done that for them.
Yes,
we have. And they feel it and they understand that we sacrifice because we love them.
Mm-hmm.
And they show us that we sacrifice because we love them. That's mm-hmm. what we ought to do. We ought to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord has been using this family. And I mean, if you speak to anyone in our church, they're gonna tell you the same thing.
Mm.
They have challenged us in our faith.
Aaron Davis and Keisha Griffin have been showing us what hospitality can look like in a local church. They're living out Romans 12, verse 13, which encourages us to share with the saints in their needs and pursue hospitality. You'll be able to see this story on video in an upcoming episode of a new series called You're Welcome Here. It's a 6-week video series designed to go along with a new Bible study based on the teaching you've been hearing this month on Revive Our Hearts.
So imagine this, you sitting in your home surrounded by women, maybe some old and new friends, walking through the 6-week You're Welcome Here study. You're discussing and processing the content, watching one of the 6 videos to accompany each lesson, all while practicing hospitality, the very thing you're learning about. You can find out more about the study, the video, and other related resources when you visit reviveourhearts.com/hospitality. And the You're Welcome Here study is available to you right now when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts. It's a small way we'd like to thank you for supporting the work God is doing through this ministry. Visit reviveourhearts.com to give or call us at 1-800 561-569-5959 and request your copy of the study.
Well, next Monday and Tuesday, Amanda Cassian will be here to talk about some of the things that can get in the way of our practicing hospitality. She'll take us to the parable of the Good Samaritan to glean some helpful lessons for all of us about gospel-centered hospitality. If you want to start thinking about that passage, you'll find it in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope you'll look for moments to welcome someone at church. And then please be back next week for Revive Our Hearts.
Do you know you're welcome here?
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.